The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to John. When it was evening of the day of the resurrection, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Holy God, send your Spirit upon us. Light our hearts, our souls, our imaginations with your love, with your light, with your peace, and with your compassion. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I was going to say I never get off track when I preach, but I always get off track when I preach. But a quick note, because I didn't think about it while I was preparing my sermon today. I just want to acknowledge the tragedy in London last night and just think that this whole idea of Jesus giving us peace so that we may then give it to others, it's just another reminder of the need for prayer and vigilance of thought, and not to allow a couple of folks, three in this particular case, folks, taint the way we live and the way that we approach the world and the way that we think about other people. Let peace be the conduit by which we live our lives. Okay? This is a weird segue into Pentecost. But let's just go over the story really quickly. I know you guys know the story, but I love telling it, so just sit there and listen. Just sit there and take it, right? So you got to get in your mind what's going on here, okay? So Jesus has died. There's been rumors of his coming back. Some people have seen him. Then the disciples gathered, and there was this weird ascension experience, you know, and you kind of get the feeling of them trying to hang on to his feet so they can't get, you know, let go and hang on to him, but they can't. And he leaves them, but he says, "Don't worry, I will not leave you alone. I'm not going to abandon you. Well, at this point, they're feeling very abandoned. They're feeling threatened. They're feeling in serious danger. If crucifixion is what happened to their leader, imagine what's possibly going to happen to them. So they have kind of cloistered themselves away from the world as they kind of worry about and think about and talk about what's next. And in the midst of this kind of bizarre experience happens where the doors fly open and this bolt of fire comes flying through. It rests on the heads of each one like a little Bic lighter in their hair, which is not a good idea. And they're filled with that spirit that had been promised to them. They are filled with that love and that light that they had experienced when they were in the presence of Jesus. And this empowers them to go out into the streets where the festival of Pentecost is going on. And they go out into the streets and they began to preach the good news. And the coolest part of the whole story is most of these guys probably only spoke Hebrew or Aramaic, maybe a little Greek on the side if they had picked up in a good elementary school. But they this is a relatively sophisticated group, but not that learned. And all of a sudden, it doesn't matter where you're from, and there's that beautiful list that Paul. thank you for taking your son's place today reading, I'm glad. That beautiful list of places where everybody was from that spoke all these different languages. And the best part of this story for me is everybody understands what's going on. Well, they don't understand what's going on. Everybody understands what's being said. Think of that for a minute. That it doesn't matter how the gospel is told or how the gospel is portrayed or how the gospel is lived. We hear it. We experience it. You know, when you see or feel the Spirit of God in your midst, no matter how it's coming at you, whether it's through an individual or an event or an experience or a happening of some sort, you know it. Or hopefully you do. I think we miss most of them, but, you know, we get it. We get it. And that's what's happening. So these guys come out, and I love the whole thing. Well, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, so they can't be drunk. Well, let's hope that's true. It would certainly make the story different. But they are drunk. They're drunk with a new wine. They're drunk with a new spirit. The spirit that Jesus promised them. And in that gift of light and love comes another gift. Each of them, each of us is equipped by the Spirit of God for the common good. That's in that line, that is the piece that nobody hears, and it's probably the most important piece of it all. It's not that these folks and that us are given gifts so that we may go out and improve our own lives, our own lot. The gifts of the Spirit are given to us for the common good, for the worlds we live in, the worlds we inhabit. So my question for you today is, are you willing, are you open, have you been to accepting the gifts, to receiving the Spirit of God? Now, my assumption is that most of us are some of the time. Because if we buy in at 100%, all of a sudden we're taking on responsibilities that might change our lives. Maybe take us off the road that we wanted to walk. You know, maybe God has a plan for me and for you that's different than the one that we came up with. I find that experience almost daily. That struggle of this is what God wants, this is what Bob wants. It's amazing how I usually win. But the trick, the gift, why we need the Spirit in our lives is so that God can win. Because let me assure you that God's plans for you are far better than anything my feeble mind or yours can come up with. So a slow releasing of ourselves over to God's mission, to God's plan, to God's will. Easier said than done, but it's not done at all if we don't try. So what are the gifts that you have been given? What are the gifts that you are willing to receive? And how do they benefit the common good? How do the gifts that you have been given by God, by grace, allow you to help bring the Spirit of Jesus into the lives of the people who live in the worlds that you inhabit? You're going to have to answer that for yourself. For each and every one of us, it's different. Heck, I'd suggest that depending on the day, it's different. And certainly depending on the stage of our lives, it's different. So whatever that plan is that you came up with when you were 13 years old, unless you're 14 years old, keep looking for something else. I mean, I think of all the things I was going to do with my life. Well, some of you know my path, and I was going to be a filthy, rich stockbroker. Instead, I became a stockbroker after the crash of 1987. That didn't work out. And I look back now, I said, well, if I'd stuck with it, everybody I know who did is really wealthy. But it's not the path that God had for me. Because it's not always about what we want. It's not always about what we think's important. Someone said to me the other day, you know, money doesn't buy you happiness. And I said, yeah, but it buys you stuff that makes you happy. But that's just stuff, right? I mean, we like our stuff. We want to provide our families with a nice house, nice clothing, safe cars, educations that we'll be paying for until we're dead. But it's still just stuff. It's not the stuff that changes the common good. Unless you're able to take those educations and do something with them, let's say. The Spirit of God fills all of us in different ways. And the trick is, how do we discern it? I'll leave that up to you. But I want to share a quick story that came across the newswire on Friday morning, based on a Thursday night event. And I hope that you all heard this, but I bet most of you didn't, which says something, not about you, but about the way we get news. This is my favorite story, not only just of the week or the month, but probably of the year, possibly for a really long time. All right, there was an auction on Thursday night at a club in New York City to benefit the Southern Poverty Law Center. For those of you who don't know the work of the Southern Poverty Law Center, look it up. It's an amazing organization. And their main charge is to bring justice into places where injustice exists, particularly around issues of hate, originally racial bias and hate, and now into all the different other categories that we find it perpetrated in. And they do amazing work. It's a great work. Please, if you get a chance, just Google Southern Poverty Law Center. Follow them on your Facebook feed. They do amazing work. So on Thursday night, there was an auction and a jam session of a bunch of famous musicians to benefit the Southern Poverty Law Center. And the centerpiece of the auction was Wolf. Does everybody know who Wolf is or what Wolf is? Sam, what's Wolf? Jerry Garcia's favorite guitar. Raise your hand if you know who Jerry Garcia is. Okay, everybody over 72 years old, Jerry Garcia was the lead singer of the Grateful Dead. Everybody under the age of 25, Jerry Garcia was the lead singer of the Grateful Dead. And if you need more help than that, Sam and I have basically everything he ever did on our phones. We can play it for you later. Okay, so Wolf, Jerry Garcia's favorite guitar, was up for auction. And I want to get this guy's name right, because he needs to be known. The CEO of marketing group HubSpot, Brian Halligan. Brian's a guy who's probably a year or two maybe older than me, about 55, I think. When they were talking to him on the news, he's standing there, he's at the concert, he's got on a pair of jeans, a checked button down, a baseball cap, basically looks like every white guy my age. And Brian bought Wolf at the auction for $1.9 million to support the Southern Poverty Law Center. This is a guy whose gift is making money. He is a billionaire, and he is also hugely philanthropic with his money, which, quite frankly, is one of the nicest parts of the story, because I'm so tired of hearing about rich people aggrandizing themselves. or even poor people aggrandizing themselves. But here's a guy who has taken a talent that he has, a talent to organize, made a ton of money, and bought himself a really cool guitar for $1.9 million because the money was going to the Southern Poverty Law Center. The cherry on that sundae is an anonymous donor said, "I'll match it." So not including all the other money they made, of all these people who had brought their gifts of music, their gifts of organization, their gifts of interpretation, these people brought all their gifts together, and not including all the other money they made, just simply on this one guitar, almost $4 million was made to fight injustice and hate in the United States. That's my favorite story of the week. I hope you heard it. If you didn't, remember, Southern Poverty Law Center. Google it. Now, most of us will never have the opportunity to give that kind of money to a worthy cause. And if you are able to and haven't, give me a call. I am more than happy to point you in the right direction. But all of us can be inspired by the Spirit of God to bring that Spirit of Jesus into the lives of others. And not just once a year or at some big event. Every day of your lives. Okay, guys, this is for you. How's school going? Why is it good? Because it's almost over. But guess what? Every one of you is going back at the end of summer. You got a job, okay? When you go to school, how often do you see people who look like their lives are miserable? Whether they're bullied or just not happy because of things going on at home. So your job is to bring that spirit into their lives. And you don't have to get all Jesus-y on it. Okay? Remember, 28% of West Hartford is still Jewish. So don't get all Jesus-y. Well, you can, just don't let them know that's what you're doing. But when you see that kid eating by themselves, every person here has heard this about when they were in school, and I bet half of us to none of us have ever done it. When you see that person eating by themselves in school, sit with them. Invite your friends to sit with them. Unless he's a complete jerk. Then find out why. All right? It's not simple. It's hard. That's that God's will, my will kind of thing. Now, I'm talking to them because they'll listen to me. But this goes for you all as well. You figure out today how you're going to change somebody's day for a moment and get on it. Because otherwise, all of this, and all of this is a big waste. Don't waste my time. I don't want to waste yours. Because Jesus is in a hurry. Amen.